doesn't have anything to do with a manger or Bethlehem or a little baby, but is one of the clearest descriptions of God's love. And that is what is at the heart of Christmas. Christmas is a story of God's love. And so Jesus told this story in Luke chapter 15. He said there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me." He divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." The context of this passage is that there have been all kinds of bad people who have been drawing around Jesus to hear him teach. People like tax collectors, which were the worst of the worst in that society, and prostitutes, and just general sinners. And the religious people, the uppity-ups, they're like, man, if Jesus knew who these people were, he'd want nothing to do with them. But Jesus knew their thoughts. And so he told them this story because he wanted to teach them something. This is perhaps one of the most well-known stories that Jesus ever told. And it's the story that gets called the prodigal son. Now, the word prodigal has become so well-known that we've taken in our culture to mean someone who has made a mess of their lives. We call, they're the black sheep of the family. They're the prodigal. We think the prodigal means screw up. But if you actually look up that word prodigal in the dictionary, what it actually means is recklessly extravagant or lavishly abundant. And on the one hand, that certainly describes this son. He is certainly reckless. He demands to be given half his inheritance. And this is an incredibly insulting thing to do in that culture. It is basically this son writing off his family, saying, "I don't want anything to do with you anymore. I just want to take what should be coming to me so that I can live by myself." When the son took this money and left his home, it was like he became dead to his family. He made the reckless decision to leave his father and to strike out on his own. He certainly lived a lavishly abundant lifestyle, doing whatever he wanted. He lived the American dream of wealth and the pursuit of personal self-autonomy. But as is often the case, what he thought he wanted didn't deliver the joy he was seeking. He lived it up for some time, but this life of freedom ended up leaving him empty. He found that his heart desires all had an expiration date on them. And he eventually went from having everything to having nothing. He becomes so desperate that he goes to work for a farmer who puts him to work in a pigsty. And that's not just some random occupation. No, Jesus is being intentional. As he says, that is where he went to work. Because to his Jewish audience that he's speaking to, pigs were considered the foulest of animals. They were spiritually unclean. For a Jew, this is the absolute rock bottom. To even have to be degraded to such a place that you are living with pigs. After this extravagant living, this man's recklessness had caught up with him. He had been living lavishly for himself, but he had ended up in a place of great desperation. The freedom he thought would bring him happiness only led him to living a life that is now enslaved to shame and regret. And so the son, he picks himself up and says, man, even the servants in my father's house have it better than me. Maybe I can go and beg to be one of them. Notice, he doesn't think for a moment that he could actually go back to the father as a son. He thinks he has lost his father's love forever. The best he hopes for is to be able to be a servant, to be able to work the rest of his life to pay back the debt of him having taken his inheritance. And so he starts his journey home. And I can just imagine him coming into his hometown, and as he begins to walk through the streets, the neighbors are starting to whisper, isn't that so-and-so? What's he doing back here? Look at how foul he is. Last I heard, he had been working with some pigs. The son is rehearsing his speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Probably not hearing the whispering as his mind, his eyes are downcast, stumbling on his way home, rehearsing his speech. But as the son is still a long way off, when just the top of his head breaks the horizon, the father sees him. The father sees him when he is still a long way off. Why? Because the father has been looking for him. The father has not stopped waiting and watching for his son to come home. Others had written him off, but the father has been on watch on this road. And when he sees his son, oh, he just takes off running. And in that culture, that's an incredibly undignified thing to do. Respectable people didn't run. They wore robes back then, and they didn't have underwear. So I'll let you fill in the gaps as to why people might not like to run. But this father doesn't care. He doesn't take time to compose himself. He just sees his son, and so he goes running, and he picks up this grown man in a big embrace and just starts kissing his face. And the son goes into his rehearsed speech, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. But the father, he doesn't even acknowledge those words. Did you see that? He didn't even respond to it. He didn't even countenance a response. He just says, no, put my best robe on him. Because I want the whole world to know that you are my son. And I'm going to put the family ring back on your finger so that we can show that you are home as one of us. And we're going to go kill the fattened calf because it is a steak dinner tonight. We are throwing a party and we're inviting all the neighbors over because his joy can't be contained. His son, who he thought had been dead to him, was now back alive. And so what we see happening here, friends, in this moment, we see the father is giving recklessly extravagant and lavish love. This isn't a story about a prodigal son only. This is a story about the prodigal father. The father's love was more lavish than his son's behavior was reckless. The father's love was so extravagant for his son that his son didn't even have to do anything to work his way back into his father's good graces. No, all the son had to do All he had to do was come home. And the Father's love was there for him. Jesus is telling this story to illustrate to his hearers that this is what God's love is like for us. The religious people had challenged him about who he was spending time with. And Jesus is like, but this is the kind of love that I have. All these sinners that you exclude, all these people that you think aren't good enough, I'm the prodigal father who welcomes anyone home who is willing to come to me. You don't think I know who these people are? No, the problem is that you don't know who I am. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm the prodigal father who is lavish and extravagant and even reckless with my love. Friends, this is why Jesus came. He came to bring us this kind of love. This is why Christmas happened. We celebrate Christmas because God is the God of love. He isn't just the big man upstairs, nor is he an angry judge who's just always frustrated with us for how we mess up and do the wrong things. Nor is it some outdated, antiquated, holdover idea from ancient times. No, God is the creator of the universe. Life is not just random. He made us, which gives us all incredible value. He made us. He's the creator. And yet he's also the one who wants to be a father to us. He wants to make us, and he wants to love us. And so even though we can make a mess of things, even though we can often fail, even though we can find ourselves in the pigsties of life sometimes, our Father does not want to leave us there. Jesus came so that any of us, no matter who we are or what we have done, Jesus came so that any of us can always come home to God. The baby born in a manger would grow up to a man who would die on the cross. And not for the wrongs he had done, but for the wrongs we had done. One of the most powerful descriptions of sentences of God's love, Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, only a man could pay for the sins of humanity. Only God could allow himself to bear such a terrible price. And so the Christmas story is the story of God stepping into creation, the creator becoming created. As the prophet Isaiah told the people of Israel 1,000 years before Jesus was born, he says in Isaiah 9 that this is what's going to happen, that there'll be a day where it would be, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Oh, he's speaking of the day that God will come and become one of us. See, God was born as a child so that he could die. Because Christmas is a story of God's recklessly extravagant and lavish love. God is the prodigal God. And he's always ready for us to come home. Doesn't matter how much we've blown it. Doesn't matter how much a mess we've made of things. You might be here tonight and you might feel like this son who feels completely unworthy. All you can think about is how displeased God must be with you. But God wants you to know that he's the Father who's been watching and waiting for you. He isn't looking for you to go into some kind of well-rehearsed speech in order to get back into his good graces. No, he just wants you to realize that you can come home. This is why one of the things we say here is that Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with God, the Father. It's a relationship that God wants us to have through Jesus. We don't just follow rules. God wants us to know his love. So what do we do with this story? Well, I think there are three responses to it. One, knowing how we have been loved by God is the greatest power there is to be able to love others. And I wonder if there's some people here that God has you here because he wants to give you a perfect entry point to go and seek to repair a relationship with someone. Maybe like the father in the video, there's a letter that you need to write. A letter saying, I know a lot of time has passed, I know a lot of things have happened, and I don't know if we can go back and turn the clock. We certainly can't undo and unsay things have been said, but I just want you to know that I love you, and I'm here, and I want us to be family again. Maybe God wants you to experience his love because he wants to repair something in your life that can only be mended by a supernatural act of God's love. Friends, if we believe God has loved us, this is the power we find to go and be able to love others. That's one response. Another response is maybe you are like the prodigal father. Maybe you've been watching the road for someone. Maybe you have a loved one who has wandered from the faith or never came to faith at all, and you've been watching for your child. You've been watching for your spouse. You've been watching for your grandparents, your neighbor, your coworker. I believe God wants to encourage you this Christmas to keep watching the road. There is no one who is too far gone or has made too much a mess of things or whose heart has become too hard. There is no one who is beyond coming home to God. And I don't know when and I don't know how, but friends, this story should remind us that we should continue to watch the road. We can't give up on anyone because there is no one who is beyond God's love. Third, maybe today is a day where you need to come home to God. Maybe this is the first time you've heard about how God has made you, how you are not a random accident of the universe, but God made you so that you could know him. But we all turn away from God, and the problem is we choose to be gods of our own life instead. We want to be like this prodigal son. We want to be the ones who are calling the shots. We want just to be left free to go do our own thing. But God has you here today because he wants you to know that he's been waiting for you. He's been watching for you. He made you, and he died on the cross to save you because he loves you. And today you can come home to him. Not by just trying to clean yourself up and be a better person. No, you can come home just as you are, clothed as you are, because God has a robe he wants to give you. He wants to cover you in the forgiveness and love of Jesus. The Bible says that all heaven celebrates when one sinner comes home to God. There's a party that God wants to throw if you would just come home to him. Friends, Christmas is a story of God's love. And I pray that we would all find our way to live in this story through faith in Jesus, who is the true reason for this season. This Savior was born to show us God's love.